You're listening to the Geek Saga podcast. This episode features audio that was recorded at a discussion panel at DragonCon 2024. Please consider backing us at patreon.com/geeksaga_entertainment for early access to these podcasts and other perks.
This is the Rogue Prince Daemon Targaryen panel. Yay! All right, so I am Jennifer Lang, and I am the director of High Fantasy here at DragonCon. You guys have probably seen me on a bunch of panels. I do a lot of stuff around here and other places. And then to my left, I have...
Hey, I'm Tara. You can find me online at A Geek Saga. My main podcast is called The Geek Saga Show. We have done a series that we call Hot D Takes for 2 seasons of House of the Dragon that have come out. I also run Ice and Firecon, which is currently on hiatus because running an East Coast convention from the West Coast is very hard, but eventually we'll hopefully come back, so...
Hi everyone, my name is Rebecca Fant. I'm just a general hype fantasy enthusiast. I love all things Game of Thrones, Lord of the Rings. We just did a Witcher panel. By day, I'm a middle school teacher. That's my day job. And then, you know, at night, I get to enjoy all the high fantasy media, so.
Hi, my name is Hanako Ricks. I'm the creator and host of the Phantom Hybrid Podcast. We are a pop culture podcast. We discuss TV shows and film and also talk about the Atlanta con scene, and House of the Dragon is one of the shows that we cover.
And I'm Ryan Cahill, or Cahill, whatever you want to way pronounce it. Whatever you want to way pronounce that. Maybe I had a bit too much.
too many rum buckets.
People say Cahill, and I just, as long as you buy the book, I don't correct you. I'm the author of The Bound and the Broken, which is an epic fantasy series. And I don't really have too much more to say about myself, which is great.
All right, so we're going to talk about Daemon, and we're going to play this game tomorrow, but me and my husband, we play a game at home after we watch an episode of Game of Thrones or House of the Dragons. Who was the worst person in Westeros that night? And now we do a bracket tournament at DragonCon because that's how out of hand it got. So when House of the Dragon airs, we always, you know, like, okay, who was the worst tonight? And Daemon never wins. I know, I'm surprised too. And you know who else is surprised? Daemon is surprised that he's not the worst person. But so, like, Daemon is a really interesting character because, I mean, you'd think he'd be the villain, but he's kind of not. Like, I look at him as, like, the platonic ideal of a Targaryen. He is charming. He is skillful. He's a great warrior. He can do all these cool things. He is loyal to his family, but also kind of jealous of them. He wants to have a relationship with a younger female relative. There's a lot going on with this guy, and he's just pure the essence of Targaryen, and that makes him really interesting because the Targaryens themselves are a really interesting family to discuss. And so I kind of want to pitch it to the panelists. Like, what aspects of Daemon do you think make him the ideal Targaryen?
That's a loaded question.
I'm talking ideal in the platonic sense. Like, you know, like when you think Targaryen, this is what you think of. I'm not talking like ideal as in like the ideal person, but just like when you think Targaryen, this is the kind of person you have. So what kind of traits does Daemon have that fit into this mold?
Well, I also think you have to consider which Targaryen ideals are you trying to focus on, because Daemon, like you said, he's very skilled in combat. He's very skilled, and not just in combat, but like he, you know, in jousting and everything, which is an entirely different thing. But he also runs around like deflowering maidens, apparently, from all of the brothels in King's Landing, and runs the city watch and is good at his job, but in that like absolute ACAB way. So I think when you ask like what makes him the ideal Targaryen, I think the question is which side of the Targaryens are you asking about?
Yeah. Earlier we talked a lot in our panel earlier today about like Targaryen exceptionalism, and I feel like Daemon really fits that of like he believes that hype, like, you know, he is exceptional, he's above the rules, which I think makes him interesting and fun too, you know, in a bad way sometimes, but I enjoy it.
Yeah, I agree with all of that. And then also the thing with Daemon that, again, depending on which side of the Targaryens you're talking about, Daemon has no diplomacy. he has no grace when it comes to negotiation, when it comes to just putting himself out there. And I think on some levels you see that in some Targaryens as well. It's like he's so arrogant that he thinks that he's just entitled to whatever it is a Targaryen has, but he does not know how to go about making other people think that he deserves what he should have as a Targaryen.
He's the ideal of what the Targaryens think they are. He's an incredible warrior, he's a fierce dragon rider, he's incredibly loyal to his family to the point that he will do anything to further the Targaryen line, and that's what makes him incredibly compelling when you watch too. Like, I think everybody, no matter what he did, he was instantly forgiven. Because I think the one moment where you watch him put the crown on his brother's head, everyone's like, that dude can do whatever he wants. Yeah, that was too lovely and sweet.
Well, and just to, like, be clear, assuming this is a book Daemon 2 panel.
Yeah, book and show.
Yeah, but book Daemon is way... way worse.
Yeah.
Like,
but
don't get me wrong. I love, right. Yes, because in the book, that is, he's not even, he's like in the stepstones when his wife dies in the book. So, like, maybe he hired somebody to help facilitate that, but we don't
know. He wore his cloak of crimes.
Exactly. Yeah. But that said, there's a lot that they do in the show to make him more palatable, and I do not at all disagree with that. But just to be very clear, in Fire and Blood and in the Rogue Prince, which the text of that is basically entirely included in the book Fire and Blood, he is not, yes, he is all about furthering his family's line, but he thinks Viserys is a weak ass MF-er, and he pretty much, it makes it sound like he isn't actually into Rhaenyra, but like marries her, like kind of inserts himself into that relationship. And also, let's be honest, there's going to be a power dynamic no matter what, because he's so much older than her. He's her uncle. Ew, gross. There is a lot of that isn't in the show, and I don't disagree that they didn't put it in the show. I like what they've done with him for the most part, but there's a lot of that that isn't in the show that is like way nastier.
Yeah, he's very one-dimensional in the books.
Yeah,
and in the show they make him so much more complex than he's written.
That's what I'd say. He would do anything to further his family line, including his family line.
There we go. One of the questions I have about Daemon, the flip side of, is he the worst person in Westeros, is he actually a good man?
Hmm.
I like that face.
Yeah. I think to him he is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, it depends on the ideal system you're holding someone to. Like, the ideal system he holds himself to, what's important to him, he does. He's good at it. And he's like, you know, he can cut someone's head off in the middle of the throne room because that dude disrespected his family, and he's being a good man by relieving him of his head. Maybe, like, objectively, no.
But he did the correct thing. Yes.
According to his moral compass and his moral code,
See, that's why he never wins the worst person at Westeros at home, because according to the rules that Daemon sets, he's a good person.
Right.
I gotta slightly challenge that, because Daemon himself said he's not an honorable man, right? Was it? I can't remember the exact phrase, but when Alice Rivers, like, an honorable man would blah blah blah, he's like, oh, you've mistaken me for an honorable man. Yeah. Like, maybe he's just being sarcastic, but I think he knows he's not good, or not.
I think he knows
not
his
good
reputation.
Enough or whatever. I
also
know.
Think like nobody is really all that great or good. At all in these stories.
But I also think, like, he can understand that for the ethical code of everyone else, he's not that great. He's like, you know, I know you all think I'm an ass. All right, but you know, I'm pretty okay. I'm okay with you thinking I'm an ass.
You're still talking to me, right?
I'm still Daemon Targaryen.
Yeah.
Not just with the spelling of their names, but Aemond and Daemon are very similar people.
Yes. Yes.
Let's dig into that.
I love that duality of Aemond kind of looking in some ways to the worst qualities to Daemon to model himself after. I think it's really interesting, and, you know, the climax of that relationship is going to be epic. But, you know, you kind of get to see those two sides of the same coin play out in different ways. And it is really interesting to see Aemond doing what he thinks maybe Daemon would do, or his interpretation of who Daemon is versus what Daemon actually does.
I really love the dinner party scene in season one where you can see Damon's face. He's like, oh shit, this guy. I'm going to have to deal with this, aren't I?
Oh, I love Damon cosplaying as Aemon in his like fever dreams in season
yes.
two.
Yes.
Like, I had to watch it twice because I was like, wait, is that Aemon or is that Damon with an, oh no, it's Damon with an eye patch. Damon is totally cosplaying Aemon in his own dreams. That's messed up.
If only.
And I think Damon saw at that dinner party scene, he was looking at himself. Mm-hmm. When he saw Aemon, he was looking at himself.
Yep.
Yeah, I think he knew that.
Yeah, Matt Smith has just the best facial expressions in any scene. Like, if you're watching him in the, like, watch the scene twice, once to see what happens, and twice just to see what Matt Smith is doing. Because he's always in the background of every scene just making the best faces. It's fantastic.
This is kind of an aside, but the blood and cheese, like a post blood and cheese scene,
oh, yes.
where he's just like smirking. Uh-huh. Come
like,
on.
Wait a second. What did you do, Damon?
Rhaenys is over there side eyeing him real hard, and it takes Rhaenyra a little bit too long to like see that Damon is like,
a little too happy about this.
He has this smile on his face, like, I did a good job. I didn't. Oh,
shit.
That goes back to that whole thing about whether or not he's a good man or not, because he thinks that he's protecting his wife.
He was sitting
wife,
there, he's like, you're going to realize it soon, you're going to think I'm really, oh, you didn't like it.
Oh, no, I did the bad thing. Oopsies.
They're so similar sometimes. I get so confused.
Do you like when I took that guy's head?
But yeah, and so, like, you know, you see Aemon doing the same thing that he saw Damon do. Like, he's spending all the time in the brothels and down in the city. But he's not taking on a lot of responsibility until after Aegon is injured. And then he's like, okay, yeah, now I'm in charge. But you see Damon doing other things to support Viserys rather than supplant him. Viserys is, you know, not the greatest king. And Damon thinks he could be so much better, but also he doesn't actively plot against him and try to murder his own brother.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think the difference with that is, especially what we see in the show, Damon has genuine affection for Viserys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, and you see that, like, he's in conflict. He's upset because his brother has the throne. He thinks he doesn't deserve it, that he would make the better king, but he loves his brother, and that's very plain in all of the things that he does, even when he lashes out. He comes back humble before his brother. Aemon has no love at all for Aegon. And I mean,
well, and rightfully so, let's be real.
Can you blame him? Because Viserys, that love goes both ways, because you see that Viserys loves Daemon, and the only reason why he gets so frustrated with him is because Daemon acts out. Aegon is just a dick to be a dick. You know? And to his brothers, he doesn't have that same mentality of, this is my family, I'm going to do what I need to do to protect them. And it comes out in their behavior.
Mm-hmm. It's like we were saying earlier about how essentially Aemon watches Damon all the time, but always takes the worst pieces of him.
Yeah.
He never takes the good pieces. And it's kind of like, it's a play on society and media and culture as well. There's a lot of the time when we glorify the wrong things. Like, right. we see someone might complain about cursing in a book, but there's no problem with someone being disemboweled or beheaded or tortured or murdered, and we're cool with that.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that shouldn't be the thing we're cool with, but we are. And that's like Aemon reflecting society when he sees Damon. He takes all the things that are cool, but maybe not the things that are good.
Well, you don't see Aemon putting in the work that Damon does for his accomplishments. You know, you see Damon fighting in the Stepstones, for better or for worse. He's out there doing the work to get the recognition, or even with the Gold Cloaks, putting in the work to try to get them in shape, whereas I think Aemon just expects, or, you know, he's now trying to figure out how to get what he wants without doing the work with those people that Damon did.
Listen, I would say for the worse, because with Damon, even, because he's real bad when he's leaving the Gold Cloaks. Like, he is just chopping people's hands off, pulling out people's eyes. Like, he is nasty.
But
yeah. Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. For the hashtag for the greater good. Hashtag not all. Yeah. Okay. But on top of that too, like with his stuff with the Stepstones. Obviously, in the show, they make it more like he's doing the thing for Viserys. Right. But in Fire and Blood, Damon's doing a lot of shit for himself, okay? Like, he is like, I am king of the Stepstones, and, like, Corlys actually crowns him king of the Stepstones in the Narrow Sea. And yeah, sure, eventually he shows back up at King's Landing, and he's like, okay, bro, here's my crown. I'm, like, gonna give obeisance to you. But at the same time, does he really mean it? No one ever knows with Damon. Listen, I do really like what the show has done with Damon, how they have made him quite a bit more palatable, because he is the rogue prince for a reason. And it's not, rogue sounds like it could be like a cutesy fun thing, but with Damon, it really wasn't, in my opinion, in the text. But in the show, they have made him more palatable.
I was gonna say, Damon hasn't had as much time to do the work yet either, right? True. Damon's had like 20 years or on him or whatever. He's still a teenager, right? Damon is still a teenager.
Yes, but I mean, if you look at Damon's history as a teenager,
he started early, yeah. But I mean, Damon, I don't know if it counts as the work burning down a...
Right. Oh my god.
But Eamon, when you look at it though as well, he didn't put in that kind of work, but they did it really well in the second season where they show his grasp of Valyrian, and you show that he thinks he's better than Aegon because he is. He practices.
He's
all
practicing
the time to
being
be
Targaryen.
Fighter, to be, yeah, he's trying to be the best Targaryen he can be, and that's the thing he's taken from Daemon. He works hard on his histories, he works hard on his language, he understands the culture. And then what they did really well in the show, I don't know, we're not doing spoilers, like this.
No, go ahead and do spoilers.
Yeah, so like, but just like when it comes towards the end, what I love is you can actually see how much more capable he is than Aegon, but because of Aegon's bullying, by the time he actually gets the chance, he's so vindictive and so screwed up that he just doesn't care anymore. And like, you can see, I like how they use that as like a foil with Damon in the show, because it actually shows, you're using Aemon to show how much better Damon is. And like the two scenes of him side by side where they both kiss their injured brother on the head, and one of them is from genuine affection, and one of them is like, I will fucking kill you.
I can kill you anytime I want.
Yeah. It's incredible character work.
Yeah. No, and I really love how they do all that mirroring with them. Damon supports Viserys and gives up his crown to him, and Aemon, you know, tries to murder his brother, and good time.
To be fair, even if you say that Viserys wasn't a good king, which doesn't agree, show Viserys, I'm sorry, our king, holla. but even if you don't care for Viserys as a king and think he made mistakes, which of course every human does, okay, Aegon is terrible.
Oh yeah, no,
that's all I'm gonna say. Aegon is terrible. I mean, he's not just bad at his job; he's just bad. Period.
It's kind of derailing it. I know it's meant to be like a Daemon Targaryen panel, not like everyone. But like, I love how they did it. Like when you go through in the start, and he's like, he doesn't want it, and he's horrible. You see some of the stuff that he's doing, and like, the dude is not a nice human being. But like, you see him there, and he's like, you have to become your king. You have to become king, because Venero will do it if you challenge her. He's like, I don't want to challenge her. Let him be the king. I don't want to be the king. And it goes to the next one. He tries to literally fucking run away. And Aemon's like, no, you have to be king. He's like, but you want to be king. Let me leave. So it's a sympathy for a character you should not be sympathetic towards, which is cool.
Well, and then you also see Aegon trying to be a better father. Like, Viserys was not involved in his life at all. And he's like, I love my little son. I'm going to take him to the small council meeting, and I'm going to yell at people if they yell at him. And it's going to be so great. He's going to play with the little clinky thing. And yeah. Yeah, because that's not something
he gets to play with the attendance ball, okay?
Yeah. But yeah, because that's not something Aegon ever got to experience. He's like, I'm going to try to do better. And then it just doesn't happen.
We've gone totally off Damon topic.
Yeah, that's fine.
Here's a tangent, let's go.
Yeah.
The thing is, I don't know, I don't have that much sympathy for Aegon. We saw him be a little better father for 2 whole weeks. He was a crappy father for his kid's whole life, and for 2 whole weeks he was good. I don't know, man. Anyway, we should talk about Damon.
Yeah. Anyway, back on subject.
To, like, make a change.
Speaking of being a better father, is Damon a good father?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good question.
We don't know, because they don't show us.
Yeah. Well, guess what? We're getting Ray Nettles.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Let's be real. So in the books, Nettles is a possible Targaryen bastard, or possibly not. She doesn't have the hair or the eyes or anything. So there's like a lot of kind of theories that maybe she doesn't have Targaryen blood at all, and she just trains sheep stealer of her own accord, right? But she is an entirely different person who is, even if she is Targaryen, she is super distantly related to Daemon. And there is a whole theory, or not even theory, there's the whole thing in Fire and Blood where, okay, well, maybe Daemon and Nettles are a thing. Well, that's obviously not happening because his freaking daughter.
Yeah.
Well, but that said, one of the lines I noted this when I was like rereading The Rogue Prince and in preparation for this panel. One of the lines was like one of the maesters was like that Daemon treats Nettles as a father would a daughter, essentially. Mm-hmm. So I feel like the showrunners went with that. And also, let's be real, like, we have to combine characters. I understand that to an extent. I do weep for the loss of Nettles because
Nettles
I feel...
wonderful.
Right, I feel like I would have loved that. But all of that said, when we're talking about, like, the possibility of Daemon being a good father, this is one of his daughters who is literally off in the Vale, very likely going to be the person who trains or who rides Sheepstealer. And I would assume we're going to get a Daemon and Rhaena story.
Like a father-daughter.
Rhaena Nettles story from that, where instead of it being, oh, Daemon is cheating on Rhaenyra with Nettles, that he is just bonding with his daughter and they're fighting together and everything. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, I really like that idea. And I like the idea that Daemon, who maybe hasn't been necessarily a bad or absent father, is actually going to have this like amazing like bond with one of his daughters. And obviously this is all like theorizing, but I do think that it's very likely that that's where they're going.
I 100% agree. And I have mixed feelings about that potential change. I always preferred the version of Nettles that was more of like a daughter to Daemon anyway. So I'm okay with that. And I think it does bring out an interesting side to him. I will miss... You know, I was looking forward to some of, like, you know, the divide between Rhaenyra and Daemon and some of the paranoia there in that relationship. I'll miss that, but I'm okay with the change in the sense that I always like that version of him anyway, and it brings out a different side to him, which I think is needed.
I am anti-cheating paranoia always, so that's why I'm kind of like, no, I like this better.
I think the Daemon they created in the show is you'd break, like, the internal consistency of who he is if he started doing that, because his whole thing... The Daemon they created would never betray someone. Like, I'm sure he probably does some weird shit. Like, but the whole point is, part of his big character thing is family, supporting them. Even though he turns around all the time, like Rhaenyra, he's like, oh, I could kind of take that. No, I won't take the crown. I'll be good. I'll be a good boy.
But I think the thing with Daemon is, as far as him being a parent, one of the things that the show has done is like we've seen scenes with him and Baela.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's a dragon rider, you see him spending time with her when she's younger before Lena dies. But I'm sitting here racking my brain. I don't think you've ever seen him interact at all with Rhaena.
No.
So for him to now, because she may claim Sheepstealer and then become a dragon rider, if he is to now form a bond with her, like, it's a bit late, bro.
Oh, yeah. No, let me be very clear. I'm not saying he's a good father. I'm saying he's like a, I don't know, less than absent father. Yeah.
Now, if they had kept the scene that they deleted about him comforting his daughter after
oh my
their
God.
Mother died.
Yeah.
That was a deleted scene? Because I remember seeing it.
Yes.
It was
yes.
No, it was,
okay,
a deleted,
it was a deleted
scene.
Okay.
Yes, they didn't air it with the original show. Like, why would you take that out?
Yeah, because that's a really great scene. And that's one of the reasons that, like, I'm sitting here thinking, well, yeah, he does have a good relationship with his daughters because of that scene. And I just...
But that's the only scene that you really see, because once his wife dies, you never see him really interacting with his girls. Like, he's in the same room. They're showing a family front. But if you think about the Targaryen dinner before Viserys dies, and then if you also think about the part where the kids were together, because of the whole dragon claiming thing, he spent more time defending Rhaenyra's kids and didn't even pay attention to his own daughters. His daughters were with Rhaenys and Corlys. So it's just
because you do see Baela say that she doesn't really know her dad that well when she's talking to Jaehaerys.
And then even when Daemon is getting ready to leave for Harrenhal, he passes by Baela in the hallway, and she's like, "Father," and he doesn't acknowledge her. He doesn't look her way. He just keeps going, and then he goes off to Harrenhal for God knows how long.
So we do see interactions with Damon and his two older daughters from his second marriage. Do we see a lot of interaction with him and his children with Rhaenyra? Does he treat his sons differently than his daughters?
There's literally nothing.
Okay.
Well, and also there's very little. Rhaenyra is playing with them with their little dragon toys.
She's a good mom.
Yeah. I don't discount that, but like then she sends them away. And I think he was gone before that even happened, but I don't think he would have...
No.
Damon has a very, like, he has, like, a one-track mind, I think. Sometimes it's, I should be king of Westeros. And sometimes it's, well, I guess my wife is going to be queen, so I'm just going to, like, do her stuff for her. But also maybe try to undermine her all the time at Harrenhal. What I'm hoping for, especially after what happened at Harrenhal this season, and obviously this is not stuff that happens in the books, but what I'm hoping is that he is going to have a little bit like of a come to Jesus sort of situation where he has had a little bit of come to Jesus situation, but I want it to be a little bit more than that. I want it to be him just not being Damon for like a hot second. Okay. Cause in the book, he goes back to Harrenhal and just like sits there waiting for Aemon to come back. He's like, hey, I'm just sitting here. Want to come fight me? Come fight me. Mm-hmm. And Aemon does, and everybody dies. Which, spoiler. Listen,
the show basically telegraphs that in the last episode.
We are doing all spoilers, yeah, right?
I'm up to it now.
In this future where Nettles obviously gets replaced, what do you imagine is going to be the new driving force for Daemon's separation from Rhaenyra, right? Like that.
Exactly.
I don't really see how they can duplicate that without going kind of way off the path.
I just saw your shirt.
Yeah.
His shirt says Daemon Rhaenyra support family values. Stop.
It's fantastic.
I think it'd be Missaria. That could be the wedge.
Maybe Missaria. Yeah. Because, like, at the end of season two, the two are super united. He's had, like, the vision of Song of Ice and Fire, and he's like, gotta get it together because Daenerys is coming and we gotta get ready for her. And so he's like, yeah, I'm gonna all in on my wife now. And something has to happen, otherwise they're making a major change.
I would say he's reluctantly with that.
I think
Rhaenyra and Missaria are way more united. Just saying. And I am here for it.
I think he's united with her, but she might be still suspicious and torn.
Yes.
Remember when they had the sort of meeting in front of the river lords, right?
Yeah.
He went in for that forehead touch that they do, and she kind of backed off a little bit. Yeah.
She also told him, she was like, leave me again.
I don't blame her. This dude is not trustworthy. Sorry, not sorry.
Like, she doesn't know what he's got. Assuming he has gone through some transformation, she doesn't necessarily really know
that.
It's literally...
Let's dig a little bit more into his relationships with women. We've talked about his daughters. Let's talk about his three wives. He's married to Rey Royce, which is an arranged marriage that doesn't go well. Alysanne was really good at setting people up, but she did not do it well on this one. They were not a good match for each other. And then Rey dies mysteriously, and then he marries Lena, and they go off and have fun in Essos, and then they have two kids, and then she dies. And then he comes back and he marries Rhaenyra and has children with Rhaenyra. So let's kind of dig into these relationships with these women that he's had.
That is an interesting change for the show, when they do seem to be trying to make him generally more palatable, but then they make him kill Rhaenyra.
Yeah, exactly.
Snatch her head in.
Very nefarious.
It's like, we're going to make you look like a lot better, except for this one thing where, like, you totally weren't even in the same country, but we're going to make you a lot worse.
You know exactly what happened there. They're in the writer's room and they're like, okay, we're going to make him more palatable, it's going to do this, but we need to let people know he's bad too. Smash him with the rock. And that was literally it.
Hold on. Because am I the only person who really does not feel like he killed her? Because everybody keeps talking about he was the one who scared the horse and made the horse fall on her. And I think that was a total accident. I don't think he did that on purpose. Of course, he bashes her head in, because at that point,
you might as well.
There's nothing else for him to do. Like, she's injured.
Like, please don't kill me. Like,
yeah, but I mean, she's injured at that point. She's injured beyond what can be fixed. And so it's kind of like, okay, what do you do with a lame horse? You put it out of its misery. But as far as him doing that on purpose, I don't think so. One of the things about her is that she's very unpleasant to him. And I mean, even when he goes there, and again, this is show, when he goes there to talk to her, he literally says nothing that's very offensive. He doesn't say anything. Like, she starts ragging on him, and he's getting to the point where he's upset, but he's like, look, I don't even want to be here. The horse does its thing, falls on her, but I don't think he did that on purpose, and I don't know.
I feel like we're back on our Walking Dead panel from this morning where we blame everything on Rick, and now we're blaming everything on Rick's feelings.
Yeah,
there's definitely merit in it, and I don't think I'll ever forget this. Like, so sitting there and going, am I the only one who thinks he didn't kill her? Like, I mean, he did smash her head in.
He was wearing his cloak of crime.
I'm sorry, but I agree with Jen. He was wearing his crimes cloak, so absolutely he killed her.
I think it worked out well for him. I think he gave her enough rope to hang herself. Like, she spooked her own horse. Like,
that
I'm
is
not
totally what I think.
Anything to make it happen.
I am honestly shocked at the number of people in this room right now who are saying that Damon did nothing wrong when his wife died.
I mean, he did smash her head with a rock, but you know anybody would have done that.
We have a hand at the back here.
Okay, yes.
I'm not agreeing, but I just love the idea of Damon, old yellow ring lady.
The counter is, if he did mercy kill her, why wouldn't he tell people?
Well, and why was he there?
What was he doing there in the first place? Like,
in the books, he wasn't even there. He was literally on the stepstones when Rhea Royce died. So, like, it's a little weird to me that the show made that decision. They were like, let's bring Rhea Royce in with this badass amazing armor, by the way, for one scene just to have Damon kill her, when in the books he literally wasn't even there.
I think the purpose was to show why he was so against this marriage, like why he didn't want to go back, why he wanted this marriage annulled, to show how horrible she was to him. I think to, again, kind of put a little complexity in his character, like, okay, you know what, this is a man who tried to do his duty. He married this woman because that's what he was told to do. And if she, I mean, can you imagine having someone nagging you and calling you impotent? Like, if a man.
Also, the one man on the panel over here.
I'd be tempted.
We're only seeing one.
Someone who is always.
Yeah, we're only seeing one scene in their marriage, and it happens to be at the end of the marriage for more than one reason.
I mean,
so we don't know, like, maybe he did something to piss her off, and now she's like, you finally come crawling back.
Have you seen this dude?
I mean, he's been flirting with his niece the entire time they're married. Like, I mean, if I was her, I don't think I'd be very happy with him
either. Yeah, I'm kind of on Ray's side with this one, that I would be pretty mad at him for coming back, too, as he stands here in front of my horse wearing his cloak of crime.
Not to mention, he tries to steal her inheritance after she's dead.
Yeah,
he's like, I'm coming over.
Show, though, like, they have to deal with the way Martin wrote the book. He just left these incredibly powerful characters with dragons doing nothing for long periods of time. And it doesn't make sense. Like, when you go back, you're like, you can see them trying to explain why Rhaenyra's dragon was not involved, because it didn't make sense. So they're spending a lot of time trying to say why it didn't happen. And then Daemon, like, with that, they're like, let's get him to do something. How about we put him on an acid trip in Harrenhal? Just leave him there for the season, because we can't explain why he was there.
Cryogenic freezer.
Osmosis through Damien. Caraxes was tripping acid. He was tripping balls on the side of the mountain.
Caraxes was fine.
Yeah, we also... Poor Caraxes.
Caraxes is begging to go home.
Poor Caraxes.
He got so excited when Cyrax and...
They're buddies. So
it's a friend of work.
Like, oh my god, I can go. Oh, I'm still here.
Okay. Right. You can just see it all the time.
Tapping
into what you said, you know, his whole arc in the first season is like him his impotence as a man, as a heir to the throne. You know, he's got that scene with Missaria where he can't finish, and then literally Rhaenyra says, you know, I knew you couldn't finish the job or something like that, mm-hmm. and that's what sparks him to pick up.
Yeah, exactly. So like, if you have to listen to that, yeah. I wouldn't want to go home to that either.
Yeah. So why do we assume that it's not Daemon's husbandry that right. led to that reaction? Because, like, everything set up that he was a bad husband to begin with.
He was an absent husband. Was he a bad husband? Yeah, because he was an absent husband. I don't think there's literally anything else involved in that. He never wanted to be married to this woman in the first place. And also, he had his own stuff going on. So he was an absent husband. And just so luckily happened in the books that she died. In the show, you know, he sort of murdered her. I don't know. Like, I kind of felt that he straight up murdered her, but like, y'all are making this argument that he didn't. Maybe I need to rewatch that scene. But
going back to your question, okay, so it could have been that he was a bad husband, but not because he was a bad husband on purpose. I mean, if you think about it, you're in a situation where this marriage has been arranged for you. You may not have even known this person. And I know that they say that men can get it up for anybody, but some men can look at a woman and be like, I feel no attraction. I feel no sex. Like, and that could be one of the reasons why she was so angry with him and used those specific words, because maybe when he went to go consummate the marriage, he couldn't get it up.
She wasn't blown to those words.
She's either not Targaryen enough or she's not Missaria enough.
That could very well be that. But I mean, if you have a situation where a man does not want you as a woman, whatever woman you are, whether or not this is somebody you love or whether this is somebody that you're kind of forced to be with because of duty, whatever, that can make a woman bitter. And even if he wanted to try, another time, like, okay, if I got to be stuck with you, let's try this. If she's already in that headspace to be jabbering at him and, you know, being very negative and being demeaning and disgracing to him, again, who's going to want to be with that? And then that is going to start a pattern between the two of them going back and forth. So it may not be that he was a bad husband to be a bad husband. His heart wasn't there. He didn't want to be married to that woman. He could have stayed in King's Landing single. He would have been fine. But Jaehaerys, I think it was, you need to be married.
So. I would like to see Daemon's Tinder profile.
His mind just wasn't there, and that was just the tinder to light that horrible marriage, and then it just ended the way that it ended.
It's really interesting for me when they go in the second season and when he leaves Harrenhal. Like, you can see the moment that the words Rhaenyra spoke, like, genuinely killed him. When she was like, I don't trust you, I never have, and you can see in his eyes, he's like, how could you not trust me? I would do anything for you. He's like, for him, he has his brother, the whole point for me when I'm watching it is, through his life, he thinks his brother's weak, but all he really wants is his brother to recognize how strong he is and to recognize that he'd do anything for him. And his brother keeps turning him away. So trust is like a thing for him. He's like, why don't you trust me? I would do anything for you. And then he goes with Rhaenyra, and he's like, I literally cut off this dude's head because he spoke so good. I would do anything. And then she turns around and she's like, I don't trust you. And you could like see it, like Matt Smith, the way he acts. He's like, I'm done. Like, this my is, buddy. you just put the knife in my heart now.
Yeah.
And you can see him. So you can see that, like, you really, there's so many times you can see where he's trying to do something right. And then he just, it's like a little demon in his head just goes, just go fucking crazy.
He's a much more interesting character in the show. Yeah.
Yes, he is like three-dimensional in the show, where he is very like one-dimensional in the text. And I love that, but at the same time, I almost wonder if they, in trying to make him more three-dimensional, they have actually discounted some of his badness that makes him more interesting. I don't know. That's how I feel about it.
You don't feel like the unreliable narrator in the book makes it right.
I'm sorry, Archmaester Gildane is unreliable? He's not totally a Team Green propagandist? What are you talking about?
And mushroom.
Mushroom is telling truths.
Mushroom is also a Team Green propagandist, honestly. If we really looked into it. The dirty stories that Mushroom tells are all anti-Team Black.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. I just wanted to touch on what you were saying about the approval. I think we see that in the dream sequence, the weird dream sequence with the mother. In that sequence, she gives him that approval, right? And then she's like, you were this. If only you were born first. And he kind of gets that. And I think that's wishful thinking on his part, that that's the approval or, you know, the acknowledgement that he didn't feel like he got from others.
But all the times they're doing it, it is really important, like you're saying, that he's a different character in the show. It's a totally different character. But, like, one of the things he says to Viserys is, like, you can see when he snaps. Every time he snaps, he loses that air of confidence that he has. And he's like, why didn't you name me Hand? Why did you never name me your Hand? The whole point is he's like, I will protect you till death. I would do anything. Why do you keep throwing me away? And you can see he has these serious rejection problems, probably people not trusting him. He's like, my own brother who I do anything for. Why do you keep tossing me away all the time? It's really cool.
To be trusted, you have to be trustworthy.
But that's the thing. He sees himself as trustworthy.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, like, whether he is or not, but, like, he sees himself as, like, to his family. He's like, I might think about killing you, but I probably won't.
But you see that Viserys has tried to give him places of responsibility, like, and they go into this in the book a little bit more. He spends about 6 months as the Master of Laws. He spends about 6 months as the Master of Coin, and like he's just bad at these jobs. They're boring to him. It's not what he's interested in.
Well, and also good old Otto is there saying he shouldn't have these jobs in the first place.
Yeah, now Otto is definitely not setting up for success.
It's the same stuff as well, though, like with that scene with Rhaenyra where he's like, I did a good job, didn't I? He's like, you can do the city watch, make the city safe. He's like, okay, cool. And he goes off, he chops off everyone's hands. He's like, look what I did, brother. He's like, you can cut off all the
gold
hands.
What is going on?
But he made the city safer.
That's what he means. The two brothers, where he's like, you said do it and I did it, but you didn't have to.
Why are you so mad all the time?
Like, you didn't tell me how to do it. You just told me to do it.
Not in one night.
All right, plaid shirt, your hand's been up a minute.
Yes, so touching on, like, show Daemon is a little less evil than book Daemon. Do you think that they kind of left it open to interpretation? Do you think that, you know, he said a son for a son with blood and cheese? Do you think that he kind of directed that, or it was just they couldn't find who they needed to find?
I've really enjoyed the show as an adaptation for the most part. But to your point, Tara, from earlier, I think a lot of the times they tried to make everyone a little bit more palatable. Whereas I'm kind of here for the crazy, and I don't mind people being really bad. I don't mind that at all. So I do think they tried to make it blood and cheese a little bit more palatable for Damon's sake. Whereas I'd be cool with him being straight evil there. That's just my personal opinion. Like, I wanted to see something crazy. But I do think they changed it to make him a bit more palatable.
They even made, like, blood and cheese, like, the actual crime, slightly less terrible.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I like what they do with it, though. Like, as in, I know they're making them more palatable, but I think there's more to it than that. Because the characters, the way they are, because George Martin is usually incredible with characters, but obviously Blood and Fire isn't the same type of book as what he usually writes.
Yeah.
So it's more like a higher level view of it. And you don't go deep into it. It's like the whole thing, the reason why grey characters have become so prevalent through fantasy is because they're more real. Like, most people don't consistently do horrible things just to do horrible things. They do them because their own internal logic makes them think they're doing the right thing. So I love what they've done, because they've put them in a position that you can watch him and decide what you would have done. And, like, that's, for me, it's less about making it more palatable and making them more, not relatable, but in the idea that you could put yourself in a situation, but you know what, if I was Dan, would I have knocked off that dude's head?
I'm just going to say
one thing. Would child never be an option?
Demons, clear instructions.
Right.
I really think that, obviously, Damon did not tell them to go murder the baby.
I think he gave them a look, though.
But exactly, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. And I already mentioned earlier how he was, like, smirking up when they were like, oh, wait, shit, they killed a baby. And Damon's like,
He don't give no shits, okay? I'm sorry, not sorry, but Daemon said a son for a son, and then he was like, wink, wink, whoever you can get, guys.
Instructions unclear, knife stuck in
his face. He's sitting in the bar being like, and guess what I told him? I hit him with a zinger. I was like, son for a son. Just bragging to his friends.
I know, we shouldn't be laughing about this.
It's Daemon.
At least it's Daemon.
But yes, I do think that he knew that they were, like, he gave them kind of free rein, is how I perceived it. Mm-hmm. And even if that wasn't what he meant in the original message, when it came down to it and they got the news back, he was like, he was like cackling in his head, smirking on his face. Okay, not sorry.
And he probably didn't even think in terms of, oh, that was a child. He's just like, oh, they killed Aegon's son. Okay, cool.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh,
we're a son for a son. Yeah, we did what we set out.
Like, a thing happened.
Mission accomplished. Cool.
So later in the season, we see him trying to stir up some Blackwood and Bracken drama, saying, well, you know, the crown can't be seen to do certain things. Having seen that, does it change whether you think he intentionally said, yeah, cut that kid's head off if he can't find his uncle?
Yeah, so I think Daemon thinks he's a master manipulator.
Yes.
And he's totally like, you know, playing both sides against each other. And he has kind of a vague understanding of what manipulation should look like. He's just not great at it. And so I think this is an example of him, like, I'm totally, like, you know, like, playing it, you know. Yeah, he's not good at this.
Nobody sees who I am.
Yeah. You're the only one who ever wears that.
Everybody sees who you are.
He made me think it was more likely that he said, yeah, just a son for a son, I'll take whatever.
Yeah.
What do you guys think of the scene with the mom in Harrenhal Hall with his mother?
I try not to.
Yes.
So many people have seen that apart. I've seen so many theories, so many metas, I make Twitter threads, and it's just like,
I mean, listen, it's an Oedipal reference. It is what it is. To be honest, when I first saw it, I thought it was Emma.
Same.
Yeah. Me too.
And I had to watch it a second time, and then I was like, oh, wait, no, that's not Emma. Because, like, Emma would have made a little more sense because he always coveted everything his brother had. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I think that him coveting all the things his brother had probably extended to if his brother was, like, the favored son, then hence. I think it was weird, and I wish they hadn't, but hey, listen, let's try to be artsy and Oedipal about stuff.
Yeah. I think it comes back to the same thing about the trust and needing the approval, and then they did that, so we want to show that away in this dream that he really craves the approval, but then make it weird.
Well, and I think if you look at, like, Viserys and Daemon's relationship with each other, Daemon always wants what he can't have, right? And exactly. I don't think he necessarily wanted a sexual relationship with his mother at any point. I mean, if they're Targaryens, who knows? But I think he wanted some kind of relationship with his mother that he didn't have. Mm-hmm. And neither the show nor the book really go into that. But I think it's plausible that Daemon felt like he didn't get enough attention. Mm-hmm. There was some kind of, like, you know, Oedipal complex going on there. Yeah.
Well, it's just that approval that he never felt like he got. I think he gets it from her in that dream sequence. Personally, though, I think it's Alyssa, right? It's his mother, Alyssa Targaryen. She's so cool, her descriptions in the book. So, I don't know. Wasn't really a fan of that. But, I mean, in the sense of telling the story, I guess, you know, it's an approval
thing.
For a cool reason.
She's so cool.
When I thought it was Emma, I was like, ew. And then when I found out it was Alyssa, I was like, oh, no. Right.
But it's also interesting that you see Daemon sort of replaying some of the conversations he's had with other characters.
Right.
Like, replaying some of his, you know, he's talking to the younger version of Rhaenyra. He's replaying a conversation he had with his brother. You know, he's probably not replaying an encounter with his mother, but he's replaying something that he didn't get when she was alive.
Mm-hmm.
So, open-ended question. What do you think of the kind of comparison of Viserys and Daemon to Aenys and Maegor?
I think Maegor's way worse.
Yeah.
But it is interesting, Daemon and I love a good, like, you know, through history you see similar things happening. Mm-hmm. Like, I do enjoy that comparison. But I do think Maegor's way worse.
Oh, way way freaking worse. Like, oh wait, it's after 10 p.m. I could have said that word.
People tell me, oh, you no filter. I'm like, you want to see the shit I don't say. I have an incredible filter. I think, like, when you look at Maegor, that to me is like, what would happen if Daemon didn't have the filter you don't think he has? Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. he would do the crazy shit. He's actually trying really hard not to do the crazy shit. It's just a lot of it slips through.
Yeah. Well, and then you also, like, Viserys is, you know, not, like, the greatest king the realm has ever had, but he's not terrible either. He's, you know, he's managed to hold it together for a while.
Yeah.
But Aeneas is not good at being king. Like, he's not a strong king, and, like, there's civil war and things like that under him. Again, it's the two extremes drawn more broadly, and then Viserys and Daemon are more of a, like, subdued version of that.
And look at how they're raised, too, right? Like, I mean, Daemon and Viserys do have love for each other. Mm-hmm. No matter, you know, the frustrations in that relationship, parents that, you know, seemingly love them, versus you have the competition of Visenya versus Rhaenys, and then, you know, Rhaenys dies, she wants her son on the throne. We were talking about this earlier. Yeah, yeah. So I think it's a different scenario on how they're raised, too.
Going back to your point about, as far as, it threw me off, the whole mother Daemon scene, but I think the way my brain works, it actually kind of helped me, like, I felt like there was almost a little bit of, like, a little parallel between Daemon and Allison in that regard, in the sense of, both of them, in their own ways, are trying to find validation wherever they can.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like with Allison, she sees the writing on the wall. She's told that her kids are gonna die. It's like she, you know, her son loses an eye, and it feels like nothing happens. And so she's listening to the dying ramblings of a man just hopped up on opium, who has been actively dying for years. He was about 20 years old. Aegon was 20 years old when he died, and never said anything about him being king. Mumbling stuff on his deathbed. Oh, he wants him to be king, and she's trying to find reasons to believe that. In the scene at the second, it's like you see it in her face, but it's like I have to go through with it. It's been done. So for Daemon, he's tripping balls in Harrenhal Hall this whole time. So he's trying to make sense of all these visions he's having, and it seems like it's trying to get him to, like, pull his mind in a certain way to get him to see things differently. And then that it took it to that extreme with this scene of, you know, his mother died before she knew him, and then the whole second son thing, having to carve everything out for himself. And then it's like he just needs some sort. He never knew his mom, tried to, you know, even get Maelys, you know, mm-hmm. mend to him. So now he got Caraxes and trying to make some sort of sense, trying to find some sort of validation. And so it ends up going to his mother that he's never known, saying, it should have been you. So they're both trying to, like, find some sort of, like, purpose and validation in what they believe. And unfortunately, neither of them do. But it ends with him actually being loyal to Rhaenyra when he was thinking other things, going to Harrenhal. Whereas Allison is just like, I guess I just gotta go ahead and go with this. I can't stop it now.
That scene where she's, like, lying in the water, she's just like, fuck. I was like, fuck all you all. I'm gonna go lie in a lake.
I would go lie in a lake if I were her too. Man, she's gone through some stuff.
Allison's bad decisions coming back to haunt her.
Allison's bad decisions.
Yeah, well, we'll have to have another Allison panel someday. Yeah.
I want to go to that.
Oh, man. We had so much fun last year.
This one?
We had one last year.
Oh!
Yeah.
And what you're saying, I feel like a lot of what he does just leads to future things that they didn't even expect, you know?
Coming out very soon, so we're going to see how George feels about all of it, too.
Yeah.
It's going to be fantastic. Okay, I know I see hands, but it is 11 o'clock. I'm sorry. So it's always when the conversation gets good that the clock changes. All right. So where can we find our lovely panelists? Where are you guys going to be next?
At Geek Saga on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, like literally all the things.
I'm Rebecca. Like I said, I'm a teacher, but I do occasionally post my cosplays on my Instagram, Chewbacca Cosplay, if you want to follow.
You can find me at Fandom Hybrid Podcast. That's on all social media.
You can find me by Googling my name.
You can find me by Googling my name.
Aww. It was seriously the best thing that ever happened to me in the whole, like, writer journey.
Your
like,
name is?
My mom and being like, Mom, what the fuck is wrong with you? What is it? And I was like, Google me. I did it.
That is fun.
Thank you for listening to the Geek Saga podcast. If you like what you heard, please check out other Geek Saga entertainment endeavors, including the Sagas and Sass webcast and podcast, and Ice and Fire Con.